The following program is a presentation of the FlyPod New Media Network. www.theflypod.com.
From Studio 7, I'm your host, Alex Parnu. Regardless of how you're listening, we're glad to have you joining us. When you have a few minutes, take time to browse around our media website, www.theflypod.com. We have a nationwide network of show hosts, and we podcast a wide variety of programs daily to thousands of small communities across the United States, Puerto Rico, and the Virgin Islands. When it comes to media, we are what's next. My guest today is Alan McIntyre. Alan is a conservative black activist, and this is his fifth visit to theflypod.com. Each time has been more interesting than the first, and although some have said a bit controversial in describing his visits. Alan, welcome to America Speaks Out.
How you doing?
Well, Alan, there's an awful lot going on lately. It seems that more and more blacks are coming out and speaking about the wrongness of the current administration's policies. At a recent prayer breakfast hosted by President Obama, the keynote speaker was Dr. Benjamin Carson. This event would have passed by without notice, but for the controversy that this event stirred. But before we begin, with your leave, I believe it appropriate that I give our listeners a brief bio of Dr. Benjamin Carson. Dr. Carson's bio reads almost like the unlikeliest success story to be told. His story is one of a family that should not have made it. Dr. Carson and his brother came out of a divorce situation family, a single mom trying to raise two boys, but a mom who always taught her boys that nothing was impossible. Sonia Carson's life motto is, "Learn to do your best and God will do the rest." This quote coming from the book Gifted Hands, the story of Ben Carson, written by Dr. Ben Carson. Ben's beginning school experience was less than average, with not only bad grades, but a temper that at times had been described by some as violent and uncontrollable. But Mom, only having gone up to the third grade, persevered and both boys eventually graduated. Ben Carson then went on to college and became a world-renowned neurosurgeon with Johns Hopkins Hospital, becoming the director of pediatric neurosurgery at the young age of 33. His career continued to excel, and in 2001, CNN and Time Magazine named him one of the 20 foremost physicians and scientists. In 2006, he received the Springham Award, the NAACP's highest honor. In 2008, he was the recipient of the Presidential Medal of Freedom, and in 2009, renowned actor Cuba Gooding portrayed Dr. Carson in a television production entitled Gifted Hands. But now let's get back to the present. During that speech at the presidential breakfast, Dr. Carson hit on some very touchy subjects that appeared to not sit very well with both the left-wing media and President Obama. My question to you is, do you think that Dr. Carson's speech was inappropriate for a prayer breakfast meeting?
No, I don't. Actually, it was very appropriate and it was long overdue. And I do have to say that I really enjoyed watching Obama squirm in his seat and appear to be very uncomfortable.
Well, in this particular case, Alan, I think Dr. Carson would agree with you because in a recent interview with Chris Wallace, he said, and I quote, "I think it's the most appropriate venue to deal with what is ripping our nation apart and the fact that we are moving away from our values and principles." And not getting into Dr. Carson's head but yours, how would you, as a black Frederick Douglass Republican, define those values and principles that are being ripped apart? Because, I mean, this is a really important subject.
Well, you know, the bottom line is that we are a Judeo-Christian society. And the bottom line is that the liberal progressives, they want to do away with that. It is very important for them to remove that from our society in order to successfully, fundamentally transform our society, which Barack Obama, you can quote, he has been quoted as saying that he wants to fundamentally transform our society. That tells me that he hates America in its current state. And it's obvious that he wants to do away with it because you have to look at it like this. Our country is in a tremendous amount of debt, and he's increasing and growing that debt. Unemployment is increasing. And I think those two things right there are intentional. I think that he, well, I don't think, I know that he intentionally wants to destroy this country. And the most expedient way to do that is economically. And he was taught by his ideological father, Frank Marshall Davis, that this is something that he must do in order to ultimately fundamentally transform this country into what they vision it should be.
Now, again, the left would say, or not wanting to speak for President Obama, he would say that it was circumstance and then in the period of time that we were in a war that was 10 years long, which basically corrupted our economy because of the amounts of money that had to be spent in that war. And he's still blaming the aspect of our economy as far as unemployment and the job growth all on that war. But you can't, I mean, my question would be, how can you hide from the very fact that the books are being cooked? Those books that say that we only have a under 8% unemployment rate, but in the same instance, every time you turn around in this entitlement society, someone goes on disability income. He is taken off of the rolls as far as being a worker. If somebody stops looking for work, he's taken off the rolls. And we're subsidizing such a greater and greater segment of the black society because of the fact, you know, everybody tells me, say, oh, well, they're all lazy. I says, well, they're not all lazy, but when someone sits there and giving you a handout after handout and a handout, what incentive do you have to go out and work? You know, Ben Carson's mom would have never allowed something like this. But today in our society, whether it's receiving a check because of a child, receiving a check because of a disability, receiving a check because of a status, so to speak, today, how we're talking about how, you know, people that are being disenfranchised from our society, how much longer can this go on?
Well, let me say this. It's easy for Obama to cook the books. And I'll tell you why it's easy, because the voting public is uninformed. More specifically, let me talk about the black voting public. Obama can come out and say and do anything, and they're going to be in agreement with it. Now, how do you stop that? The only way to stop that is that you have to educate those people. That's what myself is attempting to do. I'm attempting to educate the low information voters and show them why Obama is doing what he's doing, why it is in his best interest, not their best interest, for him to do exactly what he's doing. This thing, it's complex, but it's not complex. I mean, in a matter of an hour, you can very quickly realize exactly what Obama is doing and why he's doing it. But you can't understand that until you investigate and look into who his mentors are and how he was raised and what he was taught to believe. And most people are not going to do that. As a matter of fact, I would tell you that 97% of black people aren't going to do that, because 97% of black people currently support him. So that leaves 3%, like myself, that have taken the time to investigate and look into exactly who this man is, what he represents, and what he's about. And that's why we're out here sounding the alarm.
Boy, you really are in the minority, aren't you?
Yeah, exactly.
If it's 3%.
I'm the minority within the minority. So imagine that.
You know, one other aspect of Dr. Carson's speech was the very fact that he addressed the tax question, and specifically issuing a call for a flat tax. Do you believe he was talking to rich white America, or was he talking to poor black America when he brought up the question of a fair tax? And if he was talking about poor black people, how can their meager incomes, which in 2010 were at least $20,000 less than the median income of a wife's, be helpful to any blacks? I mean, it just doesn't make sense.
Well, let me tell you something. You hear the minority community all the time talk about inclusion, et cetera, et cetera. Well, part of that is that you have to pay your fair share. You know, that statement of pay your fair share, and Obama and them, they take that statement and they direct it towards the wealthy. The poor have to pay their fair share. If you're making minimum wage, you should pay something. You have to contribute to this American system. You have to contribute to sustaining this country just like everybody else.
But that's not what's going on. Today we have, you know, earned income tax credit, where if you didn't make any money at all, you're gonna get a tax credit. If you're sitting at home doing nothing or sitting at home because of the very fact that you can't afford to go out to work, how can they ever hope to, you know, step out of that realm of poverty?
Well, that stepping out of the realm of poverty is more about what I would consider it's more about persistence. You have to tell yourself that where I'm at now is totally unacceptable. Nobody put me here. Yeah, there may be some circumstances that contributed to me being here, but nobody put me here. And you certainly can't charge someone else with the responsibility of elevating you from that to where you want to be. That's your responsibility, period.
Well, that calls sort of draws us to the moral aspect of it, and also the faith issue. Dr. Carson has described himself as a man of faith. When one looks around the black community, We have our leadership community, as I call it. We have Reverend Jesse Jackson, the Reverend Al Sharpton, and many more out there. How would you rank or place Dr. Benjamin Carson in this litany of black leadership, specifically with relation to the faith basis of it?
Well, let me say this first, and then I want you to bring that question back at me. If you look at the scriptures, and when it talks about paying 10% tithes, God didn't specify that only the wealthy would pay that. That's across the board. And Dr. Ben Carson's he's making that point because the left loves to talk about fair, but then they like to be totally unfair when it's politically expedient for them.
Would you call that a weighted equity that we have in that it's weighted towards those that have versus supposedly those that don't have? Because a lot of the programs that we have today, really it's income that is coming into a family situation, but is not being counted as income. So where the disparity lies there, and especially, you say, with the 10%. I mean, both Reverend Al and Reverend Jackson should be both aware of this 10% tithe, and I being one that has read that portion of the Bible, which is Old Testament. I mean, that's not what I hear them preaching.
Well, you don't hear them preaching at all.
Well, I mean,
no. Listen,
once in a while, I guess they sneak into a church.
Well, yeah, but and when they get in there, they're not preaching. That what they do is more like
How about politicking?
Okay, we could say that. But these men have no interest in promoting the faith. They have no interest in promoting scripture or anything like that. What they're promoting is their own self-serving interest. That's what they're promoting. And so I have absolutely no respect for them.
You know, that's
the pimps and race hustlers.
That's a sad commentary on a time. You know, when someone says Dr. Ben Carson, that doctor denotes a special person. And in having grown up from the 50s, which he was brought up in those years, when someone says reverend or pastor, I mean, that denotes a special category towards a person. I mean, I've watched Reverend Al on television. He has his own program now, and he does commentary. And I mean, it wonders me sometimes, have they totally forgotten about the Ten Commandments, or have they totally forgotten about the things that we should not do versus what we should do?
Absolutely. But let me say this about Dr. Ben Carson. Now, he is a special man, a very special man. I just wish that the mainstream media would take the opportunity to actually take this man and present him to the public and allow the black community to see him. See, my problem is this. But while Dr. Ben Carson is out here saying what he's saying, doing what he's doing, that's absolutely great. But unfortunately, most black people don't even have a clue who he is because the liberal media doesn't agree with what he's saying because he's challenging the left. And so they're not going to put him out there and allow the black community or anybody to truly and genuinely be exposed to him. That's the problem. So, you know, you get back to the same thing that I've talked about before where I love what Glenn Beck is saying. I love what Rush Limbaugh is saying and Hannity and Levin and whatnot, but it's not going to reach the people because they're not going to tune into the conservative media, and the liberal media sure as hell isn't going to present their message to them. So what do we do?
Well, it seems that the message is not resonating there, and it can't resonate because of the very fact that they're not listening to that. So my question would be, how would somebody like a Dr. Ben Carson get on, say, the BET, which is a specialized channel for black people, interest-wise and everything? Would they not be to their advantage to bring somebody like him on to at least show a different point of view?
It would be to their disadvantage because that's not what they're about. BET is about a bunch of foolishness. They're about a bunch of raunchy videos and raunchy shows and things of that nature. They have no interest in showing Dr. Ben Carson's because that's not going to make money for them.
I mean, you're in that community. I admit I'm totally lost with respect to that. Where do most black people get their information with regard to what's going on as far as the issues of the day, the issues that are affecting our country and government?
Basically, here's what happens. They get it from the liberal media, and they also it kind of filters its way down from the pastor and from what mom and them. And, you know, so what you hear people out here doing is they just keep recycling and repeating this message that's actually coming from the liberal progressives. You know, it's very disturbing because quite often I go into barbershops and beauty salons and I engage people and they have absolutely no clue about anything that's going on. No clue. Only thing they know, only thing that they're aware of is this: Barack Obama's president. That's it.
You know, and it's really kind of funny because he was put forth, so to speak, with when he was running as far as the president, that but it was basically faith-based, going to church and everything. And yet, you don't see any of those aspects of his administration at this point in time.
That's the reason
I know him as a golfer more than as a
exactly. And the reason why I started the Low Information Voter Project. Let me explain that to you.
Well,
because
you know, I was just going to ask you about that.
Because what I found is that as I would go out, people had no clue about nothing. Absolutely nothing. For example, a lot of people don't know that Obama was proud to tell people at one point in time that he was a secular humanist until he realized it wasn't in his best interest politically to tell people that. And Obama was taught to be a master of deception. His whole thing about being a Christian is about deception. He understands that it's in his best interest politically to go out here and profess to being a Christian when he knows in his heart that he is not.
Does no one ask any questions? I mean, I remember the media at points in time in history would bring out these stories of how, you know, the Bushes would go to church or Ronald Reagan or I remember the Catholic issue with respect to John F. Kennedy. I mean, they're just not doing their job. I mean, it's almost like an aspect they worry more about his vacation time than they do his faith time.
Well, let me tell you something. Well, let me just say this. I'm going to sum it up for you, and I'm kind of jumping around, and you have to forgive me, Alex, because I got a lot of things in and out of my mind, but there's something that just popped in my mind when you were talking that I want to share with people, and that's this. Saul Alinsky, in his book, Rules for Radicals, he gives a shout-out to Satan, and his shout-out to Satan is basically saying, he says in this shout-out to Satan, he says, Satan was the very first radical, and he's saying that Satan showed us how to be radical. And he called Satan the very first successful radical. Okay? Now, the reason why Satan was successful in Saul Alinsky's eyes was although he got kicked out of heaven, at least he accomplished getting his own kingdom, which is hell. Okay? Now, listen to me. Barack Obama followed that same model. If you read what Saul Alinsky is saying, he said that Satan rebelled against the establishment. The establishment was the kingdom of Christ. Well, Obama is following in Satan's footsteps in that he is rebelling against the establishment.
America.
Exactly. And Judeo-Christian values, which is what America was established on. So Obama is rebelling against that establishment. And guess what? He got his own kingdom. He is the leader of the free world, the United States of America. This is his kingdom. And really, the whole world is his kingdom, because is there a more powerful leader on the face of the earth than the President of the United States?
No, as I've interjected at times, he is the big kahuna.
He makes the decisions. Now, I understand this. He has gotten his own kingdom, and he's followed the Alinsky satanic model in order to accomplish that. Let me give you an example. Well, Satan was rebelling against Christ. Obama is doing the same thing. He's rebelling against Christ. If you don't believe me, I point this out to people all the time. Christ says that homosexuality is an abomination. Obama stands up in front of the world and says the exact opposite. So he's challenging what Christ has already told us. So he thinks that his little Ivy League Harvard education bears more wisdom than Christ himself. And then what does he do? He turns around and he challenges Christ again as on abortion. Christ says that we have to protect the least of us. And he's referring to the children. And Obama turns right around and challenges Christ and says, no, we don't have to. And it's perfectly fine to destroy those innocent lives. And I can give you a million examples of where not only does he mock scripture, he mocks the Sermon on the Mount in one speech. He continually challenges Christ. This man believes that he knows better than Christ. And he's going to be held accountable for leading tens of millions of people in the direction of Satan. That's because that's currently what he's doing.
You know, then I come back to you and I said, you know, the black community is exceptionally religious. I mean, if you drive
they used
the black,
to be.
Well, the churches are still there.
They're still
the
there.
The membership are still there. Are you saying that they don't see this parallel that's
have
going
you heard,
on?
Have you heard of the term empty suit when people are referring to politicians? And when people are referring to politicians and they refer to them as an empty suit, they're saying that person is void of any real substance, right? Well, those churches are like empty suits. They're void of any real substance. They're not in there preaching the cross. If you're a true church and you're about Christ, then you'll be in there preaching the cross. They're teaching black liberation theology. They're teaching about how to get money and all everything but what they should be teaching about.
Well, you're scaring me. But, you know, I want to get back to a point, though. You've been associated with the Frederick Douglass Republicans. the movie Runaway Slave and various Tea Party groups. And then just as we were talking, you did mention this low voter information project that you're in. Could you give us a little bit more information and what kind of direction you're heading with regard to that?
Well, right now, I just get in the car and I go, usually typically on weekends. Sometime throughout the week, I'll pick a particular destination. And of course, before I go, I've looked at how people voted in those areas. So I got an idea of what the makeup is before I even get there. And typically I'll call ahead and I'll call a local Tea Party leader or a local Liberty Group leader, let them know that I'm going to be coming into town, let them know that I want to meet with them, give them some literature to distribute. Also, while I'm there, I will go out and engage the public. And I'll go in barbershops and beauty salons and I'll engage people and I'll leave literature behind. And it's pretty much just that's what I'm doing. But what I'm leaving behind is the facts. I'm leaving behind information that people need to know in order to be able to make the right decision. And when people say, well, what facts are you leaving behind? Let me tell you, I get my facts from Barack Obama. All I do is I go and research him, what he has said, what he has done, et cetera, et cetera. And then I come out here and I expose him. I say, look, this is this man's own, this is his words right here. And it gives people the opportunity to see who he really is. Well, the left has done a very clever job of disguising this man and presenting him in a pretty package. And he really is a wolf in sheep's clothing. But the truth is very persistent.
What it seems to me then is that when you talk about the Low Information Voter Project, what you are is you are the alternative to that. You deal with those low information voters and are trying to provide more information. Then let me ask you this question. I've been getting some emails from GoFundMe. Is that the methodology that you're using to be able to bring this about? And what kind of help do you need out there since you are involved in this project?
Well, basically, if you want information on the Low Information Voter Project, there's a URL that you can access that'll take you to GoFundMe where you can see how you can help me from a financial perspective. Now, if you can go to Facebook and just look up Alan McIntyre, and through there, you can find your way to GoFundMe.
Because I think if somebody Googles GoFundMe, which is G-O-F-U-N-D-E.
And then put in Low Information Voter Project. Yeah,
right,
exactly.
That will come about.
That will come up. But, unfortunately, the majority of voters are low information voters. And if you don't believe me, well, it's obvious by who won the election. Frederick Douglass Republican website that you can access is frederickdouglassrepublican.com or .org. And you can get information there as well. Now, you will not find Low Information Voter Project information at that website. But let me explain to you. I use the Frederick Douglass Republican message to appeal to the heart. I use the Low Information Voter message to appeal to the mind. Now, the Low Information Voter Project is a collection of the facts that people are void of. So that goes to your head. I send that to your mind. I educate you. The Frederick Douglass Republicans, we teach you that it's not about color. It's about values. We try to put you back in touch with your value system, which comes from your Judeo-Christian upbringing. And we tell you that if you are in tune and in touch with your values and the scripture, you will not and you cannot vote for somebody like Barack Obama who completely spits in the face of your God and his scripture.
Now, have you been finding that you've been getting some pastoral help on this with respect to some of the churches you've been
doing? No. Absolutely not for the most part, because when I come around talking like this, it's just not conducive to what these pastors are doing. I'm the last person that they want to see coming. Now, don't get me wrong. I have talked to some pastors. They have sat and listened, but they don't really act. They're not going to act on it because they're preaching the exact opposite. They're preaching the liberal progressive message. I'm coming in talking something that's completely different. Also, they're worried about tithes and offerings. They can't afford to start preaching the truth, because if they start preaching the truth, less people are going to show up for church and they're going to lose money.
If in the same instance, I think at least the public knows now that there is some place for them to go to at least get some information with respect to the low information voter. Secondly, if they want to find out the real truth about Frederick Douglass Republicans and what Frederick Douglass really meant to our historical fact of how we advanced and how we changed during that most significant period during the Civil War, they have some place to go to. Alan, I'd like to thank you so much for coming on our show today. I would also like to point out that any American citizen is welcome to come on a future episode of America Speaks Out and express their own opinions and ideas about today's topics. The FlyPod Network is a neutral forum, so regardless of your point of view or your political affiliation, it makes no difference to us. So if you'd like to come on the show, contact us by email right here in the studio, shout@theflypod.com. Well, that's my show for today from Studio 7. I'm your host, Alex Pernew, coming to you free and clear through the New Media Network program feeds of www.theflypod.com. Until next time, thank you for listening, and so long.